One thing we know about the coronavirus, it's hit African Americans disproportionately hard, nationally and in the Philadelphia area. But there's not enough testing being offered in lower income neighborhoods in the city, where more people of color live.
One recent study found that people living in higher income zip codes in Philadelphia are being tested at a rate of 6 times greater than those in poor areas.
Why is this happening? And how is the Black community coming together to address it? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Chris Norris is WHYY's community contributors and engagement editor. Chris, tell me about the Black Doctors COVID-19 Consortium.
Sure. The Black Doctors COVID-19 Consortium is made up of Black doctors and church leaders, particularly pastors, and many congregants who are providing free COVID testing in the parking lots of area churches. The brainchild of the operation is Dr. Ala Stanford. She's a pediatric surgeon here in Philadelphia, but she has a practice in Jenkintown. She's also a member of the Salem Baptist Church. She also read in the Philadelphia Tribune that African Americans were being diagnosed in disproportionate numbers for the coronavirus.
I reached out to local, state, federal government and hospitals to say, what's the initiative? How can I help? Only to find there wasn't one.
This really became a thing between Dr. Alice Stanford and her pastor, Marshall Mitchell. They are friends, have talked about the health disparities in the African-American community for years.
I had been publicly saying that Black people needed to be tested, Black people needed to be safe. We were the first church in the Philadelphia region to cancel service. And so we were already using science and our minds in concert with our faith.
And this crisis, this pandemic, presented the opportune time for them to act in a meaningful way.
I reached out to my colleagues and said, we need to go to the community and test the people.
How many African Americans are infected in Philadelphia?
Well, we know so far around the data is that African Americans make up 45% of the total confirmed COVID-19 cases in Philadelphia. They make up just over 40% of the city's population. But Black residents also make up half of the Philadelphians killed by COVID-19, so they're dying at a disproportionately higher rate.
Wow. Do we know why that is?
Well, part of it is pre-existing conditions, you know, obesity, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes. Those things cause you to be at higher risk. Now, of course, those are not unique to the African-American community, but they are extremely prevalent in the Black community. I think also at issue is a lack of access to health insurance. And I think if you couple that with the fact that many frontline workers, the people that we now consider essential, those are very public-facing jobs, whether it's the person working in the booth at the subway station or the bus driver or the people bagging up your groceries or ringing you up in the supermarket. More than likely, that's going to be a young person, Black or brown, and there's also going to be low-wage jobs. And so this is, I think, what we're seeing in terms of Blacks being disproportionately affected. I think it's a confluence of circumstances.
Right. So getting back to the consortium, Chris, this seemed like a huge undertaking. How did Dr. Stanford organize this?
It's a really organic type of movement that's happening. There's been about 5 to 6 churches that have participated thus far. And Dr. Stanford and Marshall Mitchell said they're chasing the virus. They're chasing the disease. So whichever zip code or neighborhood that they're seeing that this is really active and really pervasive, that's where they're going, and they're connecting with a church or a mosque that has the space to do it there.
And you know, Chris, I talked to Reverend Mitchell about this, and he said although it is a Christian effort, they are serving all faiths.
They just recently had a testing at Yeshua Ministries in South Philly, right off 23rd and Snyder. And if you look at the pictures of the line, you'll see many women in their traditional Muslim garb with their face covered. And you'll see the brothers out there with their beard. It's a heavily Muslim neighborhood. So absolutely, it's across faiths.
Can anybody get tested at these sites? I know with some testing, you have to show symptoms.
There's been no qualifications or conditions put on who can get tested. It's really a first-come, first-served basis. But I think it's also understood among the people who are coming that you should save space for people who actually believe they may have it. But that's just kind of implied. There's no direct messaging or direct orders that says only certain types of people can get tested. It's 100% open to the public, at least until they run out of tests. And that's part of what makes this remarkable. Most of the testing sites run by local governments are limited to people with appointments and who have symptoms, and often people who are over 50 or work in healthcare.
So the testing is done in the church parking lot. I'm wondering why churches, because there are other parking lots in the neighborhoods that could offer this kind of service.
When I talked to Reverend Mitchell, he said, sure, we could have used supermarket parking lots, we could have used stadium parking lots, but we wanted to use spaces that were owned by Black people.
And so using the church means we are coupling ourselves with the most trusted institution in America. If we make a church our partner, people come because they know the pastor, they know the church feeds people, and they know that it is the moral center of their neighborhood and community.
And what a better way at the moment to make the church relevant to people who are not in the faith than to open its doors when it's closed for such a meaningful experience, such a meaningful service.
And you know, we did an episode on the yellow fever outbreak of the 18th century, and the Philadelphia Black Church played a huge role in assisting during that epidemic as well.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the piece. This type of collaboration has historical precedence. You know, as you alluded to, in 1793, there was a yellow fever outbreak, and Dr. Benjamin Rush, who was Philadelphia's lead physician and a signer of the Declaration of Independence, he enlisted the help of two Black clergymen in particular, Richard Allen and Absalom Jones. But he also thought that Black people were immune to the disease. And by the time he realized his mistake, yellow fever had kind of spread to New York. And so Allen and Jones, along with other members of the Black community, be they clergy or otherwise, they buried the dead. They cared for the sick. They did whatever they could to save the city. And I think we're seeing that replicate itself now over 200 years later.
Hi, everyone. Shai here. When the pandemic hit, we here at the Y thought, what's this going to mean for our communities, our jobs, our schools, the things we're all thinking about right now? And we decided we're going to try to answer those questions the best we can every day. But we can't do it without your help. Consider donating to WHYY to keep our reporters out there answering the big questions on your mind. It's more important now than ever. Visit WHYY.org to make your pledge. Thanks.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Y. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to WHYY's Chris Norris about the disparities in COVID-19 testing in African American communities and what's being done to address this problem. The consortium has had a couple of weeks of testing under its belt now. Do we know how many people have tested positive? Do we have any data?
The only data that I was able to get is that 1/3 of the total people tested have tested positive. There's been an average of 250 to 300 people tested per site. Up to date, there's been about 5 to 6 sites done. One of those sites actually was Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church. That was the second site that hosted the testing of that church. And this is a mega church. There's about 15,000 plus members there. And the pastor, Alan Waller, who's a well-known member of the community, he took the test to kind of model behavior and to show that, hey, this isn't so hard. You can do it.
Good morning. Hey, it's Pastor Waller. I'm going to encourage you to text somebody, tweet somebody, let them know that we're on for a few moments because I want to share something with you.
He went on Facebook. He did a Facebook Live. And in fact, he wound up testing positive.
And so I am now in the quarantine. I need you to know that I have no symptoms. I feel fine.
After Reverend Waller disclosed his positive diagnosis, Reverend Mitchell started getting more calls. For what it's worth, I think that that moment of transparency for Waller probably did more for the Black Doctors Consortium than anything else.
After Alan tested positive, about 35 pastors called me the next day and said, can you test at my church?
How long will the testing by the consortium continue?
I don't know how long the consortium will be around. I hope it's not indefinitely, because I'd like to believe that we're going to turn a tide on this pandemic at some point soon. But, you know, it's worth mentioning that recently U.S. Representative Dwight Evans wrote to Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf, asking him to include the Black Doctors Consortium in any state plan for testing. And so if that's any indicator, they will be around for the foreseeable future.
Chris, my husband and I talk about this all the time because he is a pastor of a church as well. And we talk about how this pandemic could be a moment for Black churches to step up and be a force in the community like they were during the civil rights movement. Are you seeing this based on your reporting?
I guess really only time will tell, right? I mean, the Black church has always played or was had a responsibility to be involved in social justice issues that impacted their congregants, from Jim Crow to segregation to voting rights to stop and frisk to gentrification. I would love to believe that this is the moment that the Black church can walk in that urgency of now, where they can then animate themselves around access to information and access to health care. And what does it mean to pay essential workers for essential labor? Can this be a galvanizing force to animate the Black church to address a variety of issues that mostly have been the burden of younger agnostic protesters? And some have said that the Black church has been dormant. They have not wanted to get involved in anything too controversial. But I think that this can be that moment, but it has to be the public that holds them accountable. And it has to be these members of this clergy community that hold each other accountable. And maybe within some, they need to be seen and recognized and work towards a bigger cause that's bigger than themselves, that's bigger than their congregations, and that's bigger than the denominations.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. A really important piece you did.
I appreciate the interest. Thank you.
That was WHYY's Community Contributors and Engagement Editor, Chris Norris. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Dern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.